Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. This is one of the foundational scriptures of the whole Christian faith, and it sums up the depth and the breadth of God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. This isn't all there is to know about God, but it is a good start. And it will be important for Harlan to learn this as he grows in faith. It will be important for Harlan to have not just information about the Bible, it will be important for him to have even more than the stories, the wonderful stories of the Bible, the stories of creation and exodus from slavery and God's covenant promises to us and Jesus' life and teachings. These are all important, but they're not all that there is to the Christian faith. In addition to all that, it will be important for Harlan, for each child of this congregation, to know that God loves him in particular. It will be important for Harlan to internalize these stories of the Bible and to take them on for his own, to establish his own relationship with God, to trust that he is part of this world that God so loves, and to respond to God's love with his own love and actions. God so loves the world. Who does that mean? Who's covered by that statement? In this gospel, the gospel according to John, the word world, the world is usually an enemy. The world usually means those who aren't Jesus' followers. Jesus, in fact, says to the Jewish leaders, "You are of this world. I am not of this world." And so you'd think that God would love Jesus' followers and maybe even hate those who don't follow him. And in fact, unfortunately, Christians have often assumed this and preached this and acted on this. But Scripture says, God so loved the world. God doesn't just love the insiders. God loves the outsiders as well. God loves the whole world. And it is for the sake of the world, not just for the sake of the insiders alone, it is for the sake of the world that God gave his Son. God sent Jesus to be incarnate as one of us, to teach and to heal, and then to be tried and to be rejected by the world, to be crucified and to die for us, and to rise from death so that we don't need to fear death's power anymore. Jesus came to save the world. And Harlan needs to know this, and not just as information, but as God's claim on his life. And one day, Harlan will need to respond to this for himself. Like many others, Presbyterians baptize babies. We baptize children who are too young to make a statement of faith for themselves. And we do this because we trust in and proclaim God's grace. We believe that God chooses us before we are ever able to choose God. And even those of us, and I know there are some here who are baptized as adults, even those of us who remember this process that we went through to choose God for ourselves, we proclaim that even in that instance, it is still God who has initiated the relationship. God has reached out to us first. God has loved us first, and that is what makes our response to God possible. And so, we baptize babies. And when we do that, we know that they will need to claim this faith for themselves eventually. And there will be multiple opportunities for Harlan to do this. In the course of church life, there are a lot of opportunities to reaffirm our faith. And I'm not just talking about our weekly affirmation of faith, but that is certainly fuel for us, a chance to reflect on some of the basics of our faith every single week. But when you rejoin a church, there's a reaffirmation of the baptismal faith. When one is ordained to leadership in the church, there are statements of faith involved. And in addition, those of us who are just witnessing those events, we are invited to make our own reaffirmation of faith every time that others are doing that. And though baptism is only done once, we may need to reclaim it for ourselves, to resubmit to our faith periodically. We may need to do that in the context of our church. Because baptism is not a private right, it's not a private entitlement. Baptism is an initiation into the church, into the body of Christ. It is hard to be Christian all by yourself. And what's more, I believe it is not God's plan that we be Christian all on our own. Jesus, after all, gathered disciples. He taught them together. He fed them together. And they received the Holy Spirit together. To be Christian is to be part of the church. Part of the church universal and part of the particular church, the local congregation. And it may not always be easy to belong to Christ's body. And so I pray that Harlan will learn not only the challenges, but the blessings of involved in being a member of a church. When you're a part of a church, people have expectations of you. They expect, for one thing, that you might come to worship fairly regularly. And that's not only because they hope that your relationship with God will develop, but your presence there is likely to encourage someone else. People expect that those who are part of a church will care for their fellow churchgoers as if they were part of their own family. They expect that someone joining will support the church, the congregation's communal work with their prayers, their participation, even their money. And the church expects that Christian commitment will not stop here with our words. This is instead a springboard for mission into the world. For God so loved not the church, but the world. And it is here that we learn and we practice steadfast love for others, encouraged by God's steadfast love for us and for others. And this leads to the second really important verse of this text. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now remember, we're talking about the world, which I've kind of equated with those who aren't part of the church, those who don't know Jesus, those who don't want to have anything to do with him or with God. And we might call them today the atheists, the spiritual but not religious, the secular. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He didn't come to condemn those who aren't part of the church. Jesus came to save them, and we are not meant to condemn them either, but to learn to love them as God loves them. Because we cannot control other people's response to God's revelation. We can only work on our own response. And even when we have made a commitment to God ourselves, it often turns out to be imperfect. Our faithfulness is inconsistent, often affected by our context, the people we're with, our life circumstances. All of these may increase or decrease our faith in any given moment. But those of us who have received the gift of God's Son, we are called to love the world that God so loves. We, his family, must find a way to teach Harlan and other children this, both those who form Harlan's blood family and the rest of us who form this church family that Harlan is becoming part of. The question is, do our lives reveal the truth that God so loves the world? Or do we, through our deeds and our lives, do we condemn the world? God so loves the world. Do we? As we all continue to grow in faith, may we respond to God's grace and to our baptism with love, ever-increasing love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.